Today's episode is supported by Morgan Stanley, who helped First Solar raise capital to expand into new markets. Now regions from Chile to rural India have access to clean, renewable energy. Capital creates light in new places. More at morganstanley.com/firstsolar. Morgan Stanley & Co. LLC member SIPC.
Amazon's Fire TV interface has a new friend in third-party TV sets.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's tech news briefing. As always, I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Always the mover and shaker, Amazon's latest move is partnering with lower-priced TV brands, which essentially brings the Fire TV interface with everyone's favorite voice-controlled assistant, Alexa, to lower-end third-party 4K TV sets. Let's get the very latest on this. Joining us now is the Wall Street Journal's Nathan Olivares-Giles. So, Nathan, is this Amazon's way of continuing the momentum of its Fire TV sticks?
Yeah. It's hard to say because Amazon never releases official sales numbers, but they say they've sold millions of Fire TV sticks and Fire TV boxes. And its Alexa speakers are some of the most well-selling products that they sell on their website. So Fire TV and the Alexa speakers are kind of a hit, so Amazon says. And by getting the Fire TV operating system and Alexa voice-controlled remotes into these television sets, it's basically a way to bring Amazon's services, Amazon's voice assistant, and its video streaming competitor to Netflix into more and more living rooms. And, that's kind of the point.
So with this use of Alexa, will it mean that the same functions that we're used to will work with this new interface?
Most, but not all. There's not going to be quite feature parity. If you want all the latest and greatest kind of Alexa skills, as Amazon likes to call them, you really need to go buy one of their Echo speakers. But the Fire TV usually isn't too far behind. So you can say stuff like open HBO Now, watch The Last Man on Earth, rewind 60 seconds, play the next episode, whatever it might be. And then you can also actually buy some products using Alexa on your television. You're not going to be able to do stuff like hail a Uber or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's close, but it's not quite feature parity just yet.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's obviously going well. Amazon only recently began sharing its interfaces with third parties, starting with Alexa. I imagine we're only going to see more of that. From what I hear at CES, everything's about Alexa.
Yeah, there's this big trend at CES this year of basically getting intelligence and kind of voice control into as many different devices as possible. Now, whether or not people actually want this, we'll see. But there's a big belief that, the future of the smart home, the future of kind of consumer technology is controlling things with your voice and getting, voice control like Alexa. Google has its own voice assistant into as many devices as possible is kind of a way to kind of plant that flag and hopefully get people into essentially your ecosystem if you're Google or Amazon or anybody else. The idea really is that if this is the way that we're going to interact with our devices in our home, the likelihood is you're not going to want to have three or four different voice assistants to talk to depending on the device. You're going to want to have maybe one voice assistant to talk to control all the things in your home. So there's a bit of a race to get Alexa in as many different devices as possible, whether it's speakers or television sets or refrigerators or washing machines or microwaves or whatever. And Google is doing a little bit of that at CES, but this is definitely going to be something that I think we're going to see at CES, for the years to come.
We're speaking with The Wall Street Journal's Nathan Olivares-Giles about the latest on Amazon and Fire TV. You're listening to The Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
Today's episode is supported by Morgan Stanley, who helped First Solar raise capital to expand into new markets. Now regions from the Atacama Desert in Chile to rural India have access to clean, renewable energy. First Solar is enabling a world powered by reliable and affordable solar electricity. Global business, it's something to see. Capital creates light in new places. More at morganstanley.com/firstsolar. Morgan Stanley & Co. LLC, member SIPC.
Thanks for listening, everyone. So, Nathan, is teaming with budget brands to get in on this competitive TV market, is that a proven strategy that works?
Yeah. In fact, Roku kicked this off about 2 years ago,
right,
when they started partnering with China's TCL Corp, Hisense and Haier. And now you can buy Roku TVs from Best Buy's Insignia house brand and even Sharp, which is a pretty nice brand. So they started really much on the low end. You know, Sharp and Insignia, you could argue are kind of mid-tier, but that's kind of the opportunity that Amazon or Roku or anyone else really has to get a toehold in the TV market right now is the bargain brands. So Amazon's partnering with Saikai, Westinghouse, and Element Electronics. All three of those brands are actually built by a Chinese company called Tongfeng Global. And these affordable brands, these budget brands, they're cheap TVs. You know, for a lot of people, it might be the second television. You're buying it for the bedroom, or you're buying it for your kids' room or their dorm room or something. But the idea is that if you can offer a quality product with a unique feature set at a cheap price, you can get people to take a chance on a brand that they might not have ever heard of before. And in fact, with Roku, they actually now account for 13% of U.S. smart TV sales. So they've gone from, you know, they've actually, you know, created a sizable market for themselves. So they found success there, and Amazon is really following Roku's lead here. And it makes sense, especially considering that, you know, Samsung, Sony, LG, you know, Vizio, those kind of mid-tier and higher-end brands that are well-known, that everybody knows, they already have basically made commitments to TV operating systems, whether it be their own or it be Google.
So you can see exactly what's going on here. Nathan, thanks as always.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thanks again to the Journal's Nathan Olivares-Giles. For more on his story, you can check out WSJ.com. That'll wrap up the Wall Street Journal's tech news briefing for now. For the Wall Street Journal, I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.